just at the door, but I'm supposed to find out.
Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. I was a couple minutes late today because I got distracted by my job shadow from Emerge Oregon, who's Angela Morris, who's joining us and sitting next to Senator Telfer for this meeting. We have only one agenda item on our agenda here, and that's Senate Bill 1586, which has a little bit unusual of a progress through the process. So I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1586. Paul.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 1586, we have in your packet the Dash 6 Amendment, which our understanding is a work in progress. This bill parallels House Bill 4040, which was went through the House Economic Development and Transportation Committee, is now in Ways and Means, which it's being worked now. My understanding there's a work session scheduled for tomorrow in Ways and Means Subcommittee. But what the Dash 6 version does is it establishes the Oregon Growth Fund and Oregon Growth Board to encourage investment in Oregon. That was the original idea of the bill. And it requires the Oregon Growth Board to submit a report to the legislature by January 1, 2013. Goes on to abolish the Oregon Growth Fund if the legislature does, unless the legislature approves a report of the board in the 2013 session. So the duties and responsibilities are spelled out in the Dash 6 amendments, and those have to be accepted by the 2013 legislature. One thing I thought I would add is that the bill does make some changes in the Oregon Growth Account, and this committee will recall that that Oregon Growth Account was is part of the Education Stability Fund, goes back to the time of the Education Endowment Fund in 95, and then when it was converted to the Stability Fund, it stayed as a sub-account. That account now receives 5% of the earnings that go to the Education Stability Fund. It was in 2009 that Senate Bill 496 reduced that from 10 to 5%. Under current law, that allocation to the sub-account will go from back to 10% on July 1, 2013. Okay. So we have Senator Devlin here.
We actually have four honorables here. So what we'll do is we'll take Senator Devlin, Representative Berger, and Representative Bentz, and then Representative Reed will be. Excuse me?
I'm on the bill.
You're on the bill.
Chief sponsor. I'm testifying.
Oh, you're testifying. Okay. Well, we'll start out with Senator Devlin and Senator Telfer then.
I can.
Go ahead.
Welcome.
Well, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee and esteemed capital punishment colleagues.
That's our Paul Pedal Paddle team.
I'm glad you clarified that. Thank you. So I'm sure.
Your name?
Oh, I'm Chris Telfer, Senator from sunny Central Oregon. I don't know, I'm sure you've all walked into a room with Legos scattered all over the room. And things come to mind like, what a mess. This has to be cleaned up. Or maybe some of you start to gather them all together and actually build something with those Legos. Well, this bill pretty much does that. The Oregon Investment Act takes all these scattered Legos for economic development that are programs scattered all about and tries to pull them all together so that there's a consolidation of these programs. So it, in the end, we have a more efficient and effective use of the program and those dollars so that we can actually get some accountability, find out what jobs are really being created, and actually leverage more private dollars to get some economic development off the ground. It's a much more effective, efficient, and use of those programs and those dollars. And with that, I will turn the second paragraph over to Senator Devlin.
Welcome, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senator Richard Devlin, Senate District 19, not sunny, part of sunny Oregon these days. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 1586. It is the companion bill, Senate Bill 1586. It is the companion bill to House Bill 4040, which has been identified already. That bill is the bill that we actually hope will move through the process. It has been sitting in Ways and Means for some time now. You have a dash six amendments. I believe there may be a dash seven and dash eight coming relatively soon. It does not have the clearance yet to go to work session in the subcommittee. It is up for a public hearing relatively soon, and we hope by the time it gets there that it will have the clearance to go to work session. We will resolve the issues. I became interested in this act because of my work, actually, on Ways and Means. As many of you know, we've been struggling for quite some time now to address about a $335 million shortfall in our forecasted revenue from where we anticipated to be at the close of session. It is clear that this declining revenue is a testament that our economy continues to struggle and that it is recovering significantly slower than any of us had hoped for. And while I know we remain subject to both national and international economic trends, I think as you do, that we need to do everything possible to retain existing businesses, assisting businesses that are already here to expand, encouraging new businesses to locate in this state. We have had some good history in terms of trying to spur economic development and trying to leverage funds. I will cite one particular area. I, along with Representative Berger and Senator Hass, were co-sponsors of House Bill 3613 in 2003. This bill instructed the Oregon Investment Council to invest $100 million in emerging growth businesses and resulted in the creation of the Oregon Investment Fund. By 2010, the Oregon Investment Fund had invested nearly $160 million. However, in addition to that $160 million, since the inception of the Oregon Investment Fund, the net impact on Oregon businesses has been approximately $551 million of capital invested in Oregon investment funds and co-investors in Oregon and Pacific Northwest businesses as of 2010. It was not a particularly popular move, as you may remember, when we took that action in 2003. However, I think, given that that was a positive, we all know that historically our economic development expenditures have not always been as successful as we had hoped for in leveraging private dollars. Often funding has been segregated into a number of separate funds, each with their own strict criteria, administered independently, without any coordination between agencies, and without any clearly defined objectives. This Oregon Investment Act, I think we can strengthen the business environment by ensuring that our limited resources are utilized effectively. By consolidating and coordinating economic development activities, we'll be able to respond quickly and to prioritize opportunities. We also will be able to simplify the processes involved and be more accurately able to measure outcomes. I come here in support of this particular measure, and I'm risking something here by citing this, but I'll do it anyway. I recently had an agency director come tell me that something I had said was a little bit too critical, and I'm not that critical of the agency. I just think something could have been avoided if we'd had more coordination. We have a program, a small energy loan program. It's been a very successful program. It's been in place for a very long time. It gives out energy-related loans to private entities, to public entities, and it has had no real problems in parties repaying those loans until recently. We all know that one of those loans, obviously, was a biomass facility that went sideways. Also, we may not all know, we've heard just recently in the last several months, that one of those loans is a solar-related manufacturer that is going to go sideways probably also to the tune of about $11 million. There are about five more much smaller loans that are probably going sideways also to the tune of about $3 million in total. The problem with that is that's part of the Small Energy Loan Program. That program was never supposed to be a speculative program in terms of making investments that were had any high degree of risk. That's because there are no general funds in that program. Because we're depending upon the people repaying the loans and some of the surcharges we have in getting the loans to pay the costs. Now, it won't be as soon as we had been told, but there is still a very clear possibility, not a possibility, an absolute probability, that by 2016, 2017, we will need to start paying part of that debt service with general funds. Not a huge amount, but for the first time for a program that has existed for decades, we will have to begin subsidizing it with general funds. And I don't think that this would have actually occurred if there had been more coordination. I obviously believe the Department of Energy is the core, probably, of our knowledge of issues around energy in the state. It may not be the core of where our knowledge is about what is a good investment and what is a bad investment. And if there had been more coordination, I don't believe some of those loans would have been made. And I think the agency director is doing a great job, so there's no need to visit me.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. This committee has certainly been around the block on the issues you were just discussing. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you both.
Madam Chair.
Senator Morris.
I do have a question. Maybe to explain the relationship between the private sector funds and the public funds and how they are managed and the returns would accrue to a private investor.
Well, I think in the case of the example I gave, which is actually a little bit outside our subject here today, it's merely that by working with outside investors, making investments in actually similar firms, that there have been private investors that have come forward in some of those areas. I think there is probably a multitude of different possibilities with what we have on the books, but I think mostly what we're trying to do is to spur other investment and making projects possible. There probably are better people to speak to that here today than actually me. But I think our chief purpose in putting this together is to get more coordination between these entities and to try to make sure that the investments that we are making are well thought out and that we're not actually potentially occasionally serving at cross purposes.
Thank you.
I'm glad to see you here today, Senator Devlin, given your other hat, which has the actual bill that will be moving on this. There's a lot of enthusiasm behind this concept.
Just so that you know that a co-chair can't necessarily get a bill moving either.
That's not the prevailing opinion around this building, Senator Devlin. but nice try. Anyway, thank you very much. Okay, now we'll have a panel of our three colleagues from the House Revenue Committee, Representative Berger, Representative Reed, and Representative Bentz.
It's not co-chair, is it? Chair.
Alphabetical
chair.
Order.
Chair. Members of the committee, Cliff Bentz, District 60, the much more sunny part of Oregon, much more sunny than Central Oregon, and the sort you want to be. Very happy to be here today and talking about the Senate's version of 4040, which is a very extraordinarily interesting bill and one with a lot of optimism surrounding it. And my hope would be that what all we want to happen with that bill does actually happen. On the House side, I asked for and we incorporated two amendments in the bill. The first was to ask that of the seven board members, four have backgrounds, one each in banking, one in credit union membership, one in small business, and one in investment. I don't know if it's counseling or actual investment experience, but the concept is that this seven-member board focus on investments in addition to venture capital. The idea, of course, is that we have a much broader scope of investment possibilities across our state than just BC. And in fact, I would hope that this particular bill results in helping small banks make better loans and be able to better participate in some of the lending opportunities across our state. The other part amendment that I asked for, and it was indeed incorporated in the bill, was a sunset. And the sunset was effective in June, I think, of 2013. The concept here was that this is an extremely, as I said, optimistic bill with a great deal of authority given to the seven-member board. And I felt that over this coming year, we could spend our time productively in looking at those authorities and then watching as that board comes back to us and tells us how it's going to use those authorities. And that would be a year from now, and we'd look at it and we'd say, okay, this makes sense. And if it doesn't, then the whole thing would not happen. I have high hopes for this. There's a lot of value here in gathering together all of the disparate investment, I hate to say schemes, we'll call them carefully laid plans that we make in this building, drawing them together and maybe focusing them more appropriately on opportunities the state has. However, this type of investment activity misses one thing, and that is the skin in the game concept. That is, when you lose the money, you don't hurt. You don't feel the pain as directly as when it's your own investment. So the challenge here is to make sure the board employs appropriate people who fear negative outcomes as much as individual investors do. And that's something I'll be looking for a year from now. Great concept. I want to point one other thing out, and this is a kind of a conflict within the bill, and there are a number of them, but I'll just mention one. If you go back and look at the investments that have been made over the past 10 years under our Oregon Growth Account, you'll see about $136 million has been invested. All of it, except I think for $800,000, might have been $600,000, was invested in basically three counties. The $800,000 was invested in Bend. The rest of it was invested in Multnomah County, Clackamas County, I think Washington County, and then a few $100,000 here and there in, I think, two or three other counties. So all of that money, I think, was invested in six counties out of the 36 we have. That's a problem, and or not. If the focus of the of this business is to be on great of this board is to be on great big businesses, well, that's something that this board is going to have to come back and tell us about. Is this is the idea to spread this opportunity across all of Oregon, or is it too focused on just the big opportunities in our more populated areas? So I'm hopeful for this bill, but there's a lot of work to be done on it. And I thank you for giving us this chance to testify this morning.
Thank you, and thank you for your work on this. Representative Berger, are you next?
I am. Thank you very much. Members of the committee, for the record, Vicki Berger, State Representative, District 20. I'd like to talk a little bit to Senator Morris's question about what we're really trying to do here. And in my mind, we have had large and small pots of capital available through the state for investing strategically, but we haven't been terribly strategic about how we do that. As someone who has started a business, the first thing you do is you go out and look for the money to start your business with. It's that capital thing that gets business going, which gets jobs going in this state, and it's one of the things that has been sorely lacking in the recent economy. There may be capital sitting somewhere, but it's not being used to create the economic activity that we want. What I see in this bill is the opportunity to take what the state has, which isn't enough to get things going, but to leverage it with private sector dollars in the kind of, not schemes, but the kind of funding packages that will actually start businesses that are going to be successful in Oregon. They usually come with a number of funding sources. You don't just go to one bank and get full funding usually when you start something. You have to kind of leverage the dollars across a number of different ways. It may start with your family supporting you with some basic money in the pot, skin in the game, and then you go out to lenders and try and put things together. And if the state is a participator in a little bit of a gap piece, which it will be in some cases, that may make the difference between something that goes and doesn't. Or a major bank may be willing to come in if there's others in the game. So what I see is this a coordination, basically, of things we're already doing in such a way that folks who have good ideas and banks that or other lenders who may be interested in working with them can put together some packaging to start some economic activities in this state that wouldn't otherwise be able to find the kind of funding they need, or it may be more difficult than it needs to be. So that's my interest here, is getting these small businesses, the good ideas out there, funded to start growing the jobs of this state, because I think that's what all of us have been talking about, and what we all need is this sort of growth within the private sector, so people get jobs and we can start going back to work in the state. So thank you for your attention to this, and some of the folks in this room, particularly Devlin and Senator Devlin and Representative Bentz, are very careful to make sure that we have oversight in this. And I think that's appropriate. And one of the most appropriate things is that the folks on this board are people who have experience with managing these kinds of funding decisions. And I think that's a critical piece that brings me strong support, because we do need that expertise, but we also need to get the money flowing in this state. So thank you. Thank you for your attention to this. And I think this is a really appropriate bill and an appropriate direction for our state to go.
Have you given any thought, any of you, on how you could have the bill structured so that you, in most cases, the state is that gap funding rather than the main funding source?
Yes.
Representative Reed is nodding, so maybe we should just segue to you. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd be happy to try to mention that. The short answer is yes. I'm Tobias Reed, State Representative from District 27. I appreciate your hearing the bill, and particularly appreciate the way you sort of shuffled us, because we've given this presentation a few times, and typically I've gone first, so this gives me a new role, and I'm going to endeavor to not repeat what's already been said, but just add a couple of things, one of which is the history of this bill and how it developed. After Governor Kitzhaber was elected and before he was inaugurated, he asked Treasurer Wheeler, the Business Development Commission Chair Wally Van Valkenburg, and me to give him some recommendations on economic development, which we did, the largest of which was we need some more time. And fortunately, he was amenable to that, and we spent several months in conversation around the state, hearing from entrepreneurs, from business leaders, from community leaders about what they felt were the things that were hampering economic development in Oregon, what they needed to be expanding their businesses and hiring people. And that's really what's led to this bill. We heard similar stories in places around the state. The details were different, but generally it was access to capital that caused the biggest bottleneck and the biggest obstacle to economic development. And so we're trying to strike, I think, a delicate balance in this bill, which is to be specific enough to have very identifiable steps and outcomes and appropriate oversight, as has been mentioned, but also flexible enough to not unintentionally exclude some good opportunity. So we talked about coordination. That's a very important element in this bill, to bring together the disparate elements around the state that are devoted to these efforts. Another is flexibility. Even once we know about the different pots of money and programs that are scattered in different agencies, sometimes they have sideboards that are rigid enough that they're not able to be put to use to support a good opportunity. That's very important. And to your final point, leverage is a very important point. We envision the plan that comes back, and I'll mention that again in a minute, to make leverage a very important point about a very important criteria on which these decisions would be measured. We very much, I think, view state decisions as ones that should be, the dollar should be the last ones in, the thing that makes a deal go, but not one that is the decisive factor. I don't think any of us have the idea that the state would be the only investor in any of these projects, but could be very much the gap that needs filling that is currently preventing a good program or a good business from going. And lastly, I just want to be very clear that something I think you probably all understand, that this is the beginning of a conversation, not the end. If this bill passes, the growth board would be created, would go out and create a plan, I think, maybe not the first, but first in a long time, strategic allocation plan, a model that could come back to the legislature and say, this is the way that we should go forward in economic development. And I don't think it needs to be limited just to the allocation of specific dollars. We may well get into a conversation about tax policy, about capital gains, about a whole range of other things that have to do with how businesses start and why Oregon should be more successful in that. So in the midst of a session that is often focused on budget, where we're maybe going back to our district saying it's not as bad as it might have been, I think this is one of those bills that we'll be able to go back and say this is a really positive step for the state, and I think we're all ready to try to answer your questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Have you given any thought to where the sunset should be set? You mentioned that it was June of 13, and I'm thinking, you know, it's just a little over a year away, and now with annual sessions, it gives us a little more flexibility to do that. Was there much discussion around that?
Madam Chair, I'd certainly let Representative Bentz give his impression, but I think we do want to have a sense of urgency here that this group is going to come back with a good plan and a good set of recommendations, and that sunset at that date provides some sense of urgency, I think.
Thank you for the question. There was quite a bit of thought given to it, but the concept was we have a possible very large amount of power authority given to this group. The hope is that there'll be a substantial amount of money available to it. And having watched since in the years I've been here, different programs be really challenged in their outcomes, I thought this is an opportunity to try to get it right. But I didn't want to breathe life into this thing and then walk away from it. So the sunset was really to force us as a group to look carefully at what it was that they bring back to us and then give us the power to actually do something about it, because I was not interested in creating something and then not having the opportunity to end it if it wasn't what we all want. And that was my thinking on it.
No, and I totally understand that part of it and totally agree with that. I'm just wondering if the actual time might be too tight in terms of when would be a good time to evaluate it?
Well, Madam Chair, I just would say this. Over the weekend, I had a great opportunity to talk to a number of people about how this program would work, and in particular in the bioscience field down near UofL in Oregon State. And they need the money now. They have programs and opportunities right now that they really want the money now. And so my thought was, we really are not going to be loaning any money or making this thing available until it's ready to go. And so it was one of those things of let's try to make it happen if we're going to. So that was the reason for the shortness of the sunset. The idea would go away after we revisit this issue this time next year. The sunset would go away.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'm reminded of a quote someone said about dealing with climate change and whether we actually have enough time. The person said you have exactly enough time starting right now.
Okay. Well, that's good. That helped answer my question. Other questions from the committee?
I do have one.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is the intent of the bill to allow private interests to invest in the fund for the purpose of then commingling private and public sector monies and providing investments in these business opportunities?
Madam Chair, Senator Morse, you have asked today's version of a question we get frequently. A lot of people have a sort of, this sounds nice, but would my thing qualify? And I give you the answer we give everyone, which is maybe. I think what we're hoping for is a process that identifies exactly what are the best opportunities. And I can imagine for myself being very comfortable with something that would do just what you describe. But the point is, I think, to engage the professionals and the skill around the state to see what the opportunities are and the best way to do that in a smart manner. So I also don't want to prejudge that question, but I think it could very well be a smart strategy that the group would come back with in the form of recommendations to the 2013 legislature.
And if I may, we're back to her question of why a sunset a year away. These are important questions that are not answered in this bill. And until we get a more cogent plan, we want to be able to hold on to this baby and make sure that it doesn't go off in a direction that we are uncomfortable with. So that's sort of the reason why we're going to come back after a lot of these questions get answered and have another look at the direction it's going, rather than just let it go off and then 5 years from now say, why did we do that? That never happens here. But in case it did, there's sort of a careful look here.
If I may follow up this line of questioning, the dash sixes, and if this is a work in progress, I understand, but the dash sixes are very clear that the Oregon Growth Board has the following duties, functions, and powers, subsection 5, to qualify or certify businesses that invest in the Oregon Growth Account or the Oregon Growth Fund for any investment incentive approved by the board. So it's pretty clear where you're wanting to take this, at least in this amendment, to open up and pool public and private resources into an investment vehicle. And that's a big policy issue.
It is, Madam Chair, Senator Morse. That's the idea, that we wanted to not unintentionally preclude this board from considering that and coming back to us with recommendations about how that might go forward. So it is possible they could conclude that isn't a smart strategy and we don't have to do it. But we'd like them to at least consider that and come back having considered it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Next witnesses. John Molis, Kevin Christensen, J.L. Wilson.
Good morning, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. My name is John Molis. I'm the Executive Secretary of the Oregon State Building Trades Council. And I'm not going to speak to the intricacies and technicalities of the bill. You've already heard folks that have spent a lot more time and understand it greater than I do speak to that. But just overall, it seems to make good sense to us to coordinate economic development efforts in the state and to aggregate the monies for efficiency and for maximum returns. We realize this is not an infrastructure bank. That's a conversation for another day. But we believe this will help retain jobs in the state and grow new ones, and that's something that our council certainly supports. Thanks for the opportunity to share a few words, and if you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Okay. Why don't we take the rest of the panel, and then we'll put to questions.
Members of the committee, Kevin Christensen here on behalf of the Oregon Bankers Association and the Independent Community Banks of Oregon. We are supportive of 1586 and the companion bill 4040. We believe that this has the potential to improve not only economic development, but also coordination and flexibility to better utilize our economic investment dollars. We definitely applaud the Act's intention to maximize the public-private partnerships. I know our banks have been very satisfied with Business Oregon's management of existing programs and look forward to not only those continuing, but also enhancing their expertise and hopefully the board being able to utilize that. We appreciate the leadership of Senator Telfer, Senator Devlin, Treasurer Wheeler, as well as the representatives who just spoke before you. We believe this does have a lot of potential. Obviously, this is, I think, enabling language, and so there's a lot of issues to be worked worked out as to how it's going to run, and I don't want to use the word devil in the details because that sounds negative, but that is where it really lies, is the hard work that's going to need to be done between now and then. We look forward to partnering and continuing to work with Senator Telfer and the other folks, the treasurer, on this and making sure it's implemented right. So happy to answer any questions, but we are supportive.
Madam Chair, members, for the record, J.L. Wilson, representing Associated Oregon Industries. AOI is we're a big group, a lot of businesses in our organization, and as you might expect, there is some philosophical heartburn with why government should be in the role of economic development. But the one thing we recognize, the sort of the superseding fact, that brings us to the conclusion that we need to support this bill, and we do, and support House Bill 4040, is that we are in fierce competition with 49 other states for industry growth, job growth, startup growth. We don't operate in a vacuum, and the competition is really, really fierce. And that's sort of the playing field that we're operating in. And Senate Bill 1586 starts to make some of our competitive disadvantages advantages. Those disadvantages we have regarding our relative lack of size as a state, relative lack of wealth, relatively small investment culture. And 1586 begins to address those things because you consolidate, you make it bigger, you maximize our tools, maximize the effectiveness of our efforts, you leverage investment to the best of our, the best that we can as a state, and you do it in a strategic and coordinated framework. And it gives us the best possible opportunity to have success on this front. And that's why we support this bill, support 4040, and hope we move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Okay. James Winters, Paul Hudgens, and Monique Norrington.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. I am James Winters, CEO of Blue Leopard Capital, and good morning to the members of the committee. I've already previously testified in favor of the House version of the same measure, and I'm here before all of you to lend my support for Senate Bill 1586 as well. Someone who was born and raised, educated both secondarily and collegiately in this state, I've kind of had a firsthand view of the effects of not having a strong minority entrepreneurship base in our communities. This measure represents a, in my mind, a much more flexible and effective approach in dealing with the unspeakable levels of poverty, crime, and unemployment that we see in our communities. As we sit here today, 98% of all businesses that are owned by minority entrepreneurs have two or less employees. There are no funding mechanisms for boutique minority-owned private equity firms such as ours who specialize in supporting minority entrepreneurs such as the two seated next to me who wish to acquire larger enterprises located out of the state and move them here to Oregon. For whatever reason, traditional sources that are available to other private equity firms in terms of capital have not been available to us. To the extent that this legislation comes face to face with this dilemma, it should be strongly endorsed by all of those concerned, because what Oregon needs sooner rather than later is a flexible, much more flexible capital vehicle which takes into account all of the state-sponsored vehicles and enterprise incentives, and in doing so ensures that these resources are going to be available to all of Oregon's businesses. I wish to thank all the members of the committee again for the opportunity to be heard, and I will take any questions.
Thank you. We'll take the rest of the panel, and then we'll open it to questions.
Thank you. Welcome. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Monique T. Norrington, and it is an honor and a pleasure to testify here today on behalf of the Senate Bill 1586. It has long been known that small business ownership creates economic growth and development and is the core of what this country was founded upon. Even more so today, I find it imperative that I urge you to invest in a new generation of leaders such as myself and global leaders to provide an even playing field, what most would call equity, with access to capital. On the outside, you know, it would appear that I've been afforded many opportunities, such as a private education, college, and even advanced degrees. But the reality is that I was raised in a poor economic state by a single grandmother born in the 1930s with a ninth grade education. She worked tirelessly, sometimes 14 hours a day, to raise enough money to send me to a private school so that I would not have to attend one of the worst public high schools in the country. She knew that giving me a chance to access education and access opportunities could possibly help me achieve greatness, and I better not screw it up. Well, I have achieved some successes, but there are still fierce barriers out there that still impede our growth in this state and even in our country. Like my grandmother, I worked 12 hours, 13-hour days in my office fighting and pushing to gain access to contracts, capital, and even opportunities. But the reality is that no matter how many hours that I work, unless there is a viable shift towards helping businesses to gain capital and to build capacity, we will never stimulate economic growth that is so urgently needed in the African American community. Committee members, it is time, and it's time today, and your vote and passage of this bill will assist businesses like myself and others with the ability and those of us who have the agility to succeed. This bill will give us the access to capital and the opportunity to compete in a global economy, drive innovation and competitiveness, and the creation of jobs. Thank you for all of your work that you're doing on this bill. It is much needed, and it is much, much needed for our community. I'm happy again to take any questions.
Well, it sounds like something your grandma might also support.
Absolutely.
we'll take our last question, and then we'll go for that.
Good morning, Chairman Burdick and distinguished members of the board. My name is Paul Hudgens, and thank you. This is a great opportunity to come here. I was just recently there about a week ago, and I got appointed to the Aviation Committee for the state as a representative, or I should say commissioner. And I'm here in support of this bill, House Bill 1586, because I'm an ambitious, educated leader, entrepreneur, former military officer, maybe a little company you've heard of, the U.S. Navy. I'm a visionary CEO. That's what wouldn't allow me to stay in, because I see so many great opportunities that come out of, you know, playing the sport of business. This aforementioned bill I support because I see it as a great way to increase an opportunity I have. It's right on. I have my pen strokes away from signing an opportunity to get an aviation agricultural business to come right here to the state of Oregon, allowing me to be close to my family, my friends, create jobs, and increase tax revenue for the state. All good things. Well, since my honorable discharge from the Navy as a pilot and a steward of what I think is our greatest resource, people, I see this as a great transition for me to help in leadership and, again, create jobs, tax revenue, and just get our state back on its feet to where it's going, where it needs to go, and that's to be a player in this game of our economic development. I really want to also point out that since Oregon promotes and supports ethnic minorities who are highly educated, well-rounded citizens, and who care about the land in which we all live, that's more of the reason to support this bill. You're bringing helicopters and planes and putting them to work here is exciting. It promotes not just those things I've mentioned, but also it spurs a lot of youth, which I've been involved in my time, to see that, oh, I can do that. And so then you start to, it really is just a great snowball effect in a positive light. I just wanted to say thank you. I'm not very long-winded. I'm a pilot, so I beeline it. I go straight from A to B. And I say, thank you for your time. I support this. Let's get going. Let's take off. Any questions?
Questions from the committee. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Hudgens, for your service on the Aviation Board.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we'll take Ken. We'll take Ken Leitre, Bill Kluding, and Jody Weiser. Probably messed up your name. I apologize.
No, you did it right.
I did?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and committee. Bill was so kind to ask me to come down and testify a little bit about the issues that, just a quick history, I'm the owner of the...
If you would give your name for the record, that'd be great.
Ken Leahy of Ken Leahy Construction. I'm the owner of the Bradwood property, which is on the lower Columbia River. It was the siting of the liquefied natural gas facility that was going to go in down there about 3 or 4 years ago. The issues that we had in place there was Northern Star Natural Gas spent about 5.5 years and over $100 million on permitting. We've been approached by an outfit from Canada that wants to put in an bulk export facility for potash and iron ore and such as that. The biggest issue that we have is in the permitting agencies, where if we can get what we've experienced in the past and we're experiencing now, which is a direct relationship to jobs and getting construction done, is these agencies, they're still doing business as usual, to where it takes 18 months to 2 years to get permitting done. The biggest issue that we have here now is dealing with these agencies under their normal work process. Now, it's improving some. I think the managers and the people in the higher levels of these agencies get it. But last week we were meeting with a wetland biologist and says, oh, that ESA is going to take 18 months to get done. Well, this outfit is going to go away in 18 months if we don't get something done before then. The first phase of this project would be somewhere around $165 million. And upwards of 200 jobs in construction and probably 25 to 50 in operations. So what we're trying to do is get to the senators. We've been talking to Betsy Johnson and the governor's office too, but Bill asked me to come down and testify on that behalf, and I think your Senate bill 1586 is a good one, and we don't need that at this point. It's all being funded by the people that want to come in and do the project. So
okay, Mr. Kluding.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee, for the record, Bill Kluding, Carpenters Industrial Council. Ken basically touched on one of the major problems we have in this state. I can tell you our organization is for any bill that would create a job in this state. 1586 is a start. 4040 is a start. But as Ken touched on briefly on, somehow we've got to get these agencies tied together. The group that Ken's talking about, over $150 million to start out of their own pocket to start this project. We're talking jobs. We're not talking tax credits. Oregon has a kind of a poor record with tax credits. It really hasn't paid off. In 2009, we heard over and over again that Oregon was in for a jobless recovery. I never could get a definition of what a jobless recovery was. I still don't have one. Now all we hear is we're in for a slow recovery. Committee, if we don't put some jobs on the ground, we might not even have a recovery. We've lost hundreds of thousands of high-paying industrial jobs in this state. My organization alone, in the timber industry, 56,000 jobs. People ask me why I testify on jobs like this or bills like this, and with the membership I've lost, I'm trying to find some of them people a job or their family. We used to put our own kids through school, through college. We can't do that now. The timber industry was always here to help pull Oregon out of these slumps we're in. This is the worst one since the major depression in 1930. But even then, the timber industry was there to help pull Oregon out. We're not that big anymore. We can help, but we're going to have to help ourselves.
Mr. Clinton, do you have anything particularly about this bill that you think would be on point to what you
said? This is a start. I would like to see some representation for rural Oregon as far as some of the members of this. If we don't stick up for rural Oregon, there is our chance for our economic growth. If I may, Madam Chair, touch briefly on the Coos Bay project.
If that's really not relevant to the bill and the hearing is on the bill.
I'll skip that, Madam Chair. Thank you.
All right.
But there is jobs there if we could get that online. But like Ken said, the technicalities of these bills, we don't know. We do see a way this will work. But again, if the state can concentrate on jobs that doesn't take economic help from the state, we'll be a lot further ahead, a lot quicker. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ken, for coming down to testify. I think what Ken is talking about is it takes more than just one piece of the puzzle in order to create jobs in the economy. And the one piece of the puzzle that is so frustrating to the business community is what I call time to market. And that's going through all of the regulatory maze that exists from the federal, the state, and the local level to actually get something built in this state. Mm-hmm. And it is so time-consuming and so difficult and so expensive that all of the good intentions of creating these funds to accelerate that when you go right up against the regulatory environment is a major, major issue. Now, I've exceeded the scope of this bill, Madam Chair, in making that comment, but I think that's what Ken is really talking about.
And that message really came through, so thank you.
You.
Other questions from the committee? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jody Weiser in here yet? She was signed up. We have somebody from the Treasurer's Office, if you're interested in adding anything to this or not.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Mike Silvaggio from the Office of the State Treasurer. I'd like to enter some materials into record. I have some materials from people who submitted supportive statements on House Bill 4040 on the House side. As was previously noted, this bill is intended to be identical to that, and I have a short explanation letter saying that those letters were not specifically for 1586, but for the Oregon Investment Act in general. It was also noted that we have several amendments coming down the pipe, and I'd like to just put on record that those are technical changes that shouldn't have much practical effect to the bill, that we worked out some fixes with in coordination with Legislative Fiscal, Legislative Council, and the Department of Justice to ensure that certain funds that needed to be to have some kind of statutory distinction between them maintained that distinction. I will answer any questions about those amendments that you may have. We hope to have those in front of you very soon.
Thank you. Did you have any thoughts on how the sunset was set?
Senator Burdick, members of the committee, the with regards to the sunsetting, I think that Representative Benz did an excellent job explaining the underpinnings of that. I would like to point out that although most of the provisions surrounding the board do have a, I guess you'd call it a preemptive sunset at the end of the 2013 legislative session, the board itself would still exist in a kind of statutory limbo for another year and thusly give it one last chance to appeal to the 2014 legislative session in the event that the 2013 legislative assembly took no action.
How does that work?
The there are certain sections in the bill that are kind of phased out in steps, so to speak. So the board's authorities financially wouldn't take effect at all if the 2013 legislature didn't act and then formally sunset at the end of that session. However, it's not a complete sunset. The board and their directive to report to the legislature would still be in effect, although that board would have been at that time with no legislative action stripped of its any financial powers it might have.
Okay, so no money can go out the door if the sunset goes into effect.
That's precisely correct. And then, so the board would still have the ability to report and submit a plan to the 2014 legislature in the unlikely event that the 2013 legislature took no action. Okay. So we do have that small grace period.
Okay, well, that kind of addresses some of the concerns I had just in terms of logistics. Sometimes we are overly optimistic about how quickly we can get things done. But none of us have ever experienced that. Questions for Mr. Silvaggio? Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else in the audience wish to testify on this bill? Okay, thank you. Paul, any concluding comments here?
Madam Chair, no, we do. We're expecting a couple of bills to come through, so for the agendas, we'll post them when we get those coming through. So
hopefully we'll have an agenda Wednesday. And but that completes our agenda for today, so we are adjourned. Today, so we are adjourned.